Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Iris Bunshaft.
Hi there.
And we again, Christina just does wonderful work here. We are talking with Antonia Petresh in reference to the women's suffrage movement. And actually, just at the break, and this is a little aside from your book, at the break, you had mentioned the WASPs. And just, I think it's staggering when all these little bits of information get popped in.
Yes, while I was doing research for, I had written a book called More Than Petticoats, Remarkable New York Women. That was my first published book.
More Than Petticoats?
More Than Petticoats, Remarkable New York Women.
Okay.
And so the publisher asked me a few years ago to write a second edition, and with updates and two new chapters, which I did. And while I was doing the research on that, I discovered I wanted to have something a little more modern in the new edition. So I looked into the situation of the WASPs, the Women Air Force Service Pilots. These women were pilots that were recruited during World War II because the men pilots were in the battle, were engaged in the Army and the Armed Forces. But they needed people to fly the planes from a base, a factory to a base. They did a lot of flying from Grumman's and Republic to bases around the country. And they flew every single type of plane that was invented, including the bombers, the B-29s, and the biggest planes. They were extremely skilled pilots. And they used to use them as target practice. They would have them fly up and have a sheet flying behind them, and the pilots would shoot at that target.
With live bullets?
With live bullets, trying to avoid the plane. If a plane was damaged or not working properly, they would be the ones that would take them up and test pilot them because they didn't want to endanger any of the pilots that were used in combat. And they loved doing it. I mean, they worked very, very hard. They were very competent, but they had no military status. They had to pay for their own uniforms, and when any of them died, and 38 of them died in the service, their families had to pay to have their bodies brought home. No one paid for anything. They did receive a stipend pay, but this changed in the 1970s. They finally gave them military status, but many of them had died by that time. And then in 2010, President Obama did give them the Medal of Freedom. So they did receive some recognition, but many of them had died since that. And it's a whole fascinating story because these women were so skilled. They flew every single plane that was invented at that time. They flew jets, they flew bombers, they flew Piper Cubs, they flew everything, and they just never got the recognition they deserved.
There's no respect. Use, that sounds like abuse. Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of things like
yeah,
that.
I know, right, yeah. I know.
You know what, I
a
find these things...
Like
if you don't bring them out and you don't show people,
right.
Then nobody knows and they're swept under the carpet.
Mm-hmm. Master, one thing where we are in this world today, we're so much better off. We're still not perfect, but we're so much...
Well, there's a lot of communication,
exactly.
Too. A lot of... it's just been shown to us. We have so many methods of communication now that we didn't have then.
And that we have a voice now, too.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it always confuses me, and it also goes with the gay and lesbian issue. It's like, you know somebody, a cousin, a friend, a sister, in this case with women. I mean, you have a mother, you have a sister. Why would you want your mother mistreated like that? So why do these men put in rules? Every one of them has a mother. So wouldn't you want your mother respected if she was one of these pilots?
Yes.
It's like,
I think so.
Exactly.
You would
but
think
she is
so.
A fighting to get, and 38 of them died.
But they didn't,
and didn't
think
even
about
know.
It. Nobody thought
think?
About it. Yeah. That was the thing.
Well, we were in a war, so the plight of those women wasn't the first issue that people were worried about. It was just like the women who worked in the factories right here on Long Island. We had women working in the factories.
But they got paid.
They got paid, yes. But their work was overlooked because when the war was over, they sent them home. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Rosie.
But many of them, you know, the theory has always been, well, your husband will take care of you. Well, first of all, your work shouldn't be based on whether or not you have a husband. The value of your work should be the value of your work.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, many of them didn't have husbands. Mm-hmm. Even today, there's many, many single women with children raising children. They don't have somebody to help them. So the issue is just you should be getting what you deserve for your work. Shouldn't have anything to do with your marital status or but after the war, that was the thing. You go home to your husbands. Thank you very much. Goodbye. And many of them enjoyed their work. They enjoyed the satisfaction, and of course, they enjoyed the money from it. And now all of a sudden, they have to go home and lose the income, but the personal satisfaction that they had gained.
The freedom that they gained.
The freedom.
I mean, they worked very hard.
Yes.
But they were on their own. It was. It,
yes.
I've read things about this. That women were very upset.
Sure.
Yeah.
If you had spent 4 years honing a skill and working and getting a paycheck and feeling good about yourself, I'm taking care of my family. Mm-hmm. And then it was like a pat on the head and go home.
Just, and this is a question to both you ladies. In that particular period in time, and we're talking, you know, middle of the century, how many people, women, do you feel, though, didn't really want a part of that? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, it's like, guess what? She's too busy to be going out there working. She should be home.
No, no, no. That's, is that a an edict that the husband said? The
I'm saying this is from the wife next door, the woman next door. Yeah. How many of those people do you think existed?
Look how many women are in the workforce today. But that tells you the story. It really answers. I don't know the numbers, but that tells you women, once they had a taste.
Well, no, also the population has exploded, so we needed more people to work in general. So, I mean, we have full employment because that's a whole different world, and you have to have two incomes today. Mm-hmm. Back then, you could afford the wife to stay home. You can't today, almost. On Long Island, you have to have two families working.
You know,
I'm sure there were many women who were opposed to it.
Yes, they did peace goods at home.
In my family, everybody always worked, so I don't know about... I mean, they might have stayed home, like my mother stayed home till we went to school.
Right.
But my aunt, back in the 40s, she used to do peace work at home. I can still remember she had a big board, and she would do gowns.
Oh, okay,
she would do the beading on the gowns. So women always found a way to work and to make money. It wasn't always respected as men's work was. I'm sure there were many women who were disapproving of women who went out to work. Yes, I'm sure there were for reasons. Maybe they didn't feel confident enough themselves to go out. Maybe their husbands didn't want them to. Maybe they were just happy staying home, which is fine.
Not everybody is the same.
Right, that's what you want to do, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... But if you don't want to do that, you shouldn't have to.
That's the more important thing. You should have the option.
Right.
If you don't want to.
You should have the option.
It shouldn't have to be a fight to get a job or go out and do something. Be accepted.
And if you want to do whatever you want to do, if you're willing to put in the time and the effort, you should be able to do it, which wasn't always the case.
Right, okay.
It's better today, absolutely. I mean, we're seeing young girls today, they just astound me with what they're doing. It's amazing.
You'll have to write another book.
Yes.
do you have a phone number? Because, I mean, obviously, if somebody would like to call you to come and speak at an organization.
Sure.
I don't know what number you'd like to give out.
516-524-3322.
3322.
That's my
516-524-3322.
Right.
And yeah, because I mean, our conversation, it's amazing. So I would imagine, you know, a group, men or women, it'd be a pleasure to have you go and speak with them.
And I wanted to mention too, we have a project. I started my own organization called the Long Island Woman Suffrage Association Incorporated. It's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. And one of the goals that I'm trying to do with that is, I'm working with other historical societies, we're trying to establish a women's history trail throughout Long Island. We want to have places that people can come. It's really in its infancy. We're now establishing historical markers. We have about 12 through Long Island. We've tried to get funding for them. One organization that's funded us is the Pomeroy Foundation. They have given money.
What foundation?
The Pomeroy Foundation in New York. And so they have funded historical markers for the suffrage movement because last year was the centennial of New York women getting the vote. But now we're trying to do not just suffrage because there wouldn't be as many, but women's history on Long Island. So that if you're looking for something to do on Long Island, you can get this map and this brochure, and it'll give you the history trail, and you can follow it. So that's one of our projects. The problem is there's not a lot of places
That's
go.
That was my question. Where do you
you're not
going to
go just look at a marker. So we do have one place in Yaphank, the Mary Booth House. There's a house there. People can go and tour. Women's History would take in Sagamore Hill because of Edith's role there. But that's one of the projects that I'm working on now is the Women's History Trail, so that people can learn about women's history and how it's affected our life on Long Island.
Wow. No, I think it's amazing. And the negative of it is the amount of money you probably need to get it organized.
Yes, of
it's
course.
A shame because you have a great idea. But it's just...
Well, we're hoping. You know, we did get this funding from Pomeroy. We're hoping that maybe we can get some government funding. The markers themselves aren't terribly expensive, but they do have to be maintained.
Right, right.
And then we are also, we do have to do some publicity. And so, yeah, there's money needed, but we'll find the money.
Right, okay, that's good. No, yeah. It's tremendous at the end of the day. Because as we're both saying, and Iris and myself, so many of these things had just been neglected. And it really
yes,
is
Yes, and
shame.
So many houses are gone. Like Alva Vanderbilt built a beautiful mansion on the Long Island Sound and Sands Point called Beacon Towers, and she built that just specifically to host suffrage leaders from around the country and around the world and have suffrage conferences and suffrage fundraisers, and it's gone.
Completely?
It was knocked down, yeah.
Wow.
So that would have been a nice place.
And even if it wasn't for that purpose, those houses built years ago were gorgeous.
Yes, yes. Many of the homes, well, you know, all through Long Island, but many of them are still there.
Right.
We were just able in Glen Cove last year, with the help of our mayor and the city council and the Pomeroy Foundation, we got a marker honoring two Pratt sisters-in-law who lived in Glen Cove. And the Pratt family lived had eight mansions in Glen Cove.
Oh, okay.
Charles Pratt, Standard Oil. And these two women, these two sisters-in-law, worked very hard for suffrage. So we got them a marker, and the marker where they used to live is now owned by the Russians. It's a Russian residence in mm-hmm. Glen Cove. So we put the marker outside the gate.
Oh.
It's on city property. It's
okay.
Totally fine. And so we wonder what they think of when they drive out.
I think
out
it was taken away
gate.
From them again.
No, I think they own that property. It's not like
you're
a,
not the one
a
in
residence.
Glen, not in the one in Glen Cove?
I think they still own it.
But there were some
they were put out. They were put out. But they still own it.
But they still own it.
They still own it, right. But they
it's
were not
being
able
used.
To inhabit it.
Right, that's what
okay.
it is.
Now, I noticed in reading here about...
Actually, Iris, we're out of time, believe it or not. It's amazing. It flies, and especially when it's an interesting subject. This you have to come back if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because
I don't
this
mind
is
at all.
This is just like hitting the tip of the iceberg. Mm. And 30 minutes goes by so quick. Because it really it's an exciting subject, but you're educating us, which is the most important, and that's what you really want to do.
The
you want to bring it.
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta bring it. You're a librarian,
absolutely.
Even know that. But
yes.
Anyway, thank you so much. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.